So as we look at what it means to apply our faith in a life of service, I'm reminded of a passage that the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it's not on the screen, but he would say to people, "For you are God's workmanship, his handiwork." Some translations use the word masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You are a piece of work." Yes. So, Paul, to the church in Ephesus, is speaking on a theme that's all throughout the Bible. This idea that people are on earth with a purpose, that God has a plan to use our lives to make a difference in the lives of others. Our memory verse today is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, and that one is on the screen. Each of you, what's the first word?
Each.
So is that some? The most gifted among you? No. Each of you, so that's everybody, should use whatever, what's the word?
Yes.
Gift you have received. Who do we receive it from?
God.
That God gives his people gifts to, why? Why does he give gifts? To serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So God has given grace to his people. As we give our hearts to Jesus, "Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Jesus, thank you that through you I can have a relationship with God. Jesus, through you I see the example of your life, a life of service, and as I seek for my life to become more like yours, I want to become more like Jesus. My life is increasingly oriented towards service." Now, so as I'm teaching on this topic, it was occurring to me this week that our greater challenge is not so much the theology of this. Because let's face it, maybe you're here and you wouldn't consider yourself a Christian, or you're not sure if you're a Christian, or you're not a Christian yet. I mean, in which case, we're so glad you're here. This is exactly why, you know, we started the church, is for people just like you to have a safe place to process the big questions of life and faith. But chances are, even if you're here and you're not sure if you're a Christian, you're not sure if there's a God, any of those great, big, wonderful questions, you're probably not wrestling on this issue. I'm assuming that we're kind of all on the same page, and that you go, okay, if there is a God, or for those of us who would say, "I know that there is a God," that God wants people to serve others. We're all kind of on the same page with that? Yeah. Probably, even if you're here and you're questioning, the greater question in your life is not, does God want people to serve? The greater question is, why aren't people serving more? You're not so much doubting whether or not there's a God, you're doubting whether or not there's a real church. Because you don't see service happening maybe on the level that you might imagine if God's people were really doing God's mission and work. You know, forgetting, of course, that as we look at the major works of service throughout history, the soup kitchens, the universities, the school, you know, school systems, hospital systems, that all of those were initiated originally by Christians who sought to apply their gifts in service. All of it. Show me the soup kitchen that an atheist has opened. There aren't very many. But the greater question is not so much, does God want me to serve? Yeah, God wants me to serve somewhere. The bigger issue is not so much theological, but it is psychological. Well, how do I serve then? How do I know where to serve? So I want us to look at a very practical passage in Scripture. If you would open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, we're going to be reading from verses 6 through 8. Just a short passage, but it's just so loaded with meaning. And as you do, I'd like you to take out your insert. See the one here? Or you can use the back of your connection card. And see if you can find a writing implement. Borrow one from your neighbor, or there's a bunch over on the table. And I'd like you to write the numbers 1 through 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And as we go through this passage, we're going to look at some of the gifts that are being mentioned in this passage. So as we go through, you're going to be writing a word, and then next to that word, I'd like you to write yes, no, or maybe. This will make sense as we go. Just play along and get a pen, and on the back of a piece of paper somewhere, make the letters one, or the numbers, see how I'm not a math major? Okay, the numbers 1 through 7, on that back of the piece of paper. All right. And let's read God's word and then consider how it might apply to our lives. So Paul is writing to the church in Rome this letter that kind of gives an overall picture of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. He writes to the church. He says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to who? Each of us." So if you're in your Bibles, you might want to circle the word each, just in case you're tempted to believe the lie that you don't have a gift, because you are part of the each. When the Bible says each, that means you. And it means the people around you, too. That's everybody. Every follower of Jesus. Okay. "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is," what's the first word? Prophesying. So next to number one, write the word prophecy. We're going to be looking at the seven, what's sometimes called the motivational gifts. Gifts that are, to a certain degree, an extension of somebody's personality. An extension of somebody's personality that, as we come to Christ and we say, "Holy Spirit, come and live inside of me and work inside of me," that the Spirit then empowers that personality trait, that capacity set for new levels of service. Now, some of you, as you're listening to this, you know, this guy talk, blah, 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 he's saying, "Wait a second, I know plenty of people that aren't Christians that still serve very, very well." Isn't that true? Plenty of people that aren't Christians that serve very, very well. I'd like you to consider a couple of things. First one is, there's a very good chance, there are people all around the world that God has given grace to through common grace. Everybody has grace because every person alive has a gift of God's life in them. Just imagine what would happen if the person that already has that inkling inside of them, given by God, actually figured out where that gift came from. Just think what would happen if they were able to connect the dots. That's why you need to share your faith with your friends. For some of them, they have been serving for a very long time. They have a heart oriented towards service, and the problem is they don't even know why. They've been seeking to do right and to do good and to help others. They don't even know why. Because think about it. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I'd love to have a conversation and maybe sit down over coffee on this. Think about this. If there is no God and the Darwinian truth, survival of the fittest, if that was actually the rule of the universe, there is no reason why you should serve anybody at all. There's no good reason. Think about it. If it's survival of the fittest, there's no reason why you should serve, and yet here's all these people oriented towards service. Why is that? Maybe they just haven't connected the dots. There's somebody that gave them that gift, and they haven't figured out why yet. Just think what could happen in that person if they knew where their help comes from. Just think what could happen to that person if they connected the dots, if they figured out, this is a gift from God. Oh God, come and your life join up with what you've already done in my life so that together we can live new life together. Just imagine what would happen if that person came to know and trust God and allow God's Spirit to empower them. Just think of the potential. One of the other reasons why you need to share your faith with your friends. Okay, anyways, so just that one aside, let's keep reading here. So if your gift is prophecy, so you write down the word prophecy, then prophecy or prophesy in accordance with your faith. If you have the motivational gift of prophecy, your heart motivation is around, I told the truth. Your motivation is proclaiming the truth. So the people with the gift of prophecy, they are they're the blunt ones. They're the black and white ones. They're the ones that help to see right from wrong, and they are passionate. They are bold about proclaiming it. So these are people that call the church to evangelism, call us to justice. They call us to compassion, and they are not afraid of anybody as they proclaim it. We need prophets in the church, and especially in the New Testament, prophecy, so we get away from the whole Nostradamus thing, in the New Testament, the way that prophecy generally worked wasn't so much telling the future, but speaking truth into the present. So not so much foretelling, but forthtelling. Speaking truth about a present situation. We need prophets in the church. Now, with every gift that God gives, there are also some weaknesses, some liabilities that go along with that same personality trait. Maybe you've met a prophet in your life because sometimes they're a little hard to be with. Sometimes prophets can be so bold and so blunt that they have a very hard time one-on-one because they are so passionate about proclaiming the truth that they have a hard time navigating the fact that people really do struggle to apply it. That makes sense? Don't point at anyone. I just want you to write the word prophecy, and next to it, put yes, no, or maybe. Is that something that might be describing you or some part of you? Because over the big picture today is I'm hoping that you'll identify the one or maybe two gifts that are your primary motivations, the Spirit-empowered motivations for life service. So prophecy, yes, no, or maybe. Second one, verse 7. If it is, what's the word? Serving. Then serve. Some of us have the spiritual gift of service. If so, your heart motivation is, I helped someone. You want to help someone. You see a need and you go, I can help. I can help. You ever wonder where the chairs come from on a Sunday morning? Yeah, the chair fairy. The chair fairy just flits in for all of us to just walk past the chair. Wow, good job, chair fairy. You know, or why the coffee is hot. Or when we leave and then tomorrow this is going to be a junior high. How does that happen? I don't even know. Well, it's because there are heroes in the church with the gift of service. Now, I don't believe this list is necessarily a ranked one, but just in case it is, notice where service fits. It's right near the top. Right near the top. There can never be too many people with service gifts in the church. People that see a need and fill it. People that love to help with meals. People that are asking all the time, what can I do to help? Some of you, that's exactly you. But there's some liabilities. There's some liabilities with the gift of service, and I just want us to be aware of those things. Sometimes if you've got that gift of, I just want to help you, you have a very hard time saying no. And so there's some boundary issues potentially in your life. Can be tricky because you want to serve, but you cannot serve everything all the time. So it's very difficult. Some of you, because you're so motivated to serve, it is difficult to tell somebody the truth when the most honest thing they need to hear is knock it off. It's very difficult to speak that loving truth into somebody's life because you just want to help. You just want to help. So be aware of your strengths, be aware of your weaknesses. Service, yes, no, or maybe. Think about it and write it down. Let's keep reading. Keep reading. Okay. If it is teaching, then what? Teach. Some of us have motivational gifts of teaching. Your heart motivation is, I sought the truth. Though you'll know it because if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you've got a big library. There's concordances everywhere. You get concordances for your birthday and you go, yay, thank you for the concordance. You like Hebrew. You like Greek. You like detail. You love to teach. You just want people to know the truth. You just love it. It's great. Nobody needs to tell you to study. You just love to study. It is awesome. And you want more and more people to study. It is great. Now, that is awesome. Now, one of the things that is a liability sometimes with those who have teaching gifts is you are so motivated by the truth that sometimes it's harder for you to see, like, application. You know, because you're like, this is the truth. Isn't everybody excited about it? And the answer is no, not everybody is. And it's so frustrating because people don't get it. Why don't they see that you just need to look and find and discover the truth? Right? Is that you? Yes, no, or maybe? Maybe. Okay. All right. I'm seeing some people, I've seen some eyes light up. That's good. Just don't poke anyone, okay? Whew. Just keep reading. Let's just keep reading. If your gift is to encourage, some translations say exhort, it's the same thing. Encourage, then give what? Encouragement. The person with the spiritual motivation gift of encouragement is motivated by this. I built somebody up. That's what's going through your brain all the time. What can I do to build somebody up? You're the people that Hallmark loves. You are the person that loves to send texts and notes. You just want to build people up to give them strength and courage. You want to help people move forward in their life. It is awesome. You are the person that when somebody's having a bad day, they probably want to call you because they know that if they talk to you, they're going to feel better. I'm seeing some eyes light up. That's right. You're looking at your friends. Stop looking at them. Because that's a good chance they have the spiritual motivational gift of encouragement. So you love to be around them. They make people feel good. They help people take steps forward. Everybody needs encouragement in their life. Amen? Now, thank you. There's also some liabilities to the gift of encouragement. Some liabilities, things that are difficult. Those of us who have the spiritual gift of encouragement sometimes have a hard time saying the hard thing. We want so much for people to feel good that it's hard to say something that will make them feel bad in order for their life to actually get better. You'll get to it. You'll get to it. But it'll take a long time. It'd take like a 30, 45-minute coffee meeting to say the thing that the prophet would say in the first 30 seconds. God wants you to knock it off, smarten up. And then the prophet would walk away while the person with the gift of encouragement would, you know, they just want to know that you're okay. Right? You've got some encouragers in your life. Thank God for them. We need them. That's one of the liabilities of the encourager. It's a little bit more difficult for them to say the hard thing. Let's just keep reading. Okay. If it is, what's the next one? Giving. If it is giving, then give generously. So those of you, those of us with the spiritual gift of giving, you love, your heart motivation is, I want to connect resources to God's mission. We love you because you're good with money. Whether you have a lot of money or you don't have very much money, you are generally good with money. You handle money well. You've never been to a payday loan place. You don't go over on your credit card statement if you have a credit card. You handle money well. And chances are you've got a greater capacity to earn money. Now, if you've got that spiritual gift of giving, here's some things that may be true about you. You know, you love when people ask to give towards God's work, but you hate manipulative asks. You're not looking for something to just tug your heartstrings. You want to know, what's the return on investment? You want to know, if I give, and I want to give big to God's work, but I want to see stuff happen. I want to see people get helped. I want to see people come to Christ. I want to see people grow as a result. What's my ROI? And those of you with the spiritual gift of giving, you probably know what ROI means. What tangible good is going to happen as a result of this? Because you love to give. And you want to see resources being used well. So you want to see churches handling money wisely. You love looking at budget statements because you see that a budget statement is a mission statement to a certain degree in a church. You want to know how money is being handled. It's also some things that you can find very frustrating too. You find it frustrating when people around you, and that's probably most people, don't handle money very well. So the friend that comes to you says, I've been having money trouble, I just can't connect my bills, I just don't know how to do it, and they've got Starbucks in their hand and an iPhone 5S. And you go, and it's really frustrating because your friend can't connect the dots and you've been connecting them all along. You know. And so it can, it's sometimes difficult to communicate some of your passion that way. So strengths and weaknesses, spiritual gift of giving, yes, no, or maybe. Now all of us are called to give, but some of us are specially given the gift of giving. Yes, no, or maybe. Okay, next one. If it is to, what's the word? Lead. Do it diligently. I want to talk about the gifts of leadership. They show up in two forms. One is sort of the gift of the one that's often translated administration. Those of you with the spiritual gift of administration, your eyes light up when somebody buys you an Office Depot gift card for your birthday. You're like, this is great. I know how to use it. And then you file your gift card in your gift card filing system, you know, so that alphabetically you know where to find that gift card if you ever lose your gift card, right? You know, you've got everything with color-coded little folders and stuff. You are organized and your heart's motivation is this. I want to organize people for God's mission. You know that when organizations are run in a sloppy way, they don't get their mission accomplished very well. So it bugs you when you're in an environment that is disorganized or unclear or messy. It's frustrating. Grr. Because you have that gift. You see the value of organization. Now, The other element of this, and you may have this part of it, is the more the leadership elements. You are looking to connect people in ways that further God's mission. So you think with systems and structures. You see how, as various gifts, how they connect together to move mission forward. You're calling the church to big, bold things. You want to see kingdom mission be accomplished. Now, one of the liabilities of that element of leadership gift is sometimes if you are really high in that gift area, is that people around you might sometimes experience you as a little bit cold or a little bit uncaring because you are so passionate about the mission that it just bugs you that somebody's got a hangnail so they don't show up. You know, or the person that doesn't show up on time because, you know, they're a little bit bummed out today. And like, come on. And so you're frustrated with that, and you can be a little short with people. It's one of the liabilities of that kind of a gift. Let's keep reading. Then it says, if it is to show what? Mercy, do it cheerfully. Some of us have the spiritual gift of mercy. Your heart motivation is, I understood somebody, or I felt somebody's pain. You are the person that just naturally connect to people in their places of need. You're the person, when you show up at a party, you immediately go, who is the most vulnerable person in the room, and how can I help them? You know. Because you have the spiritual gift of mercy. Your antenna is up. Who's hurting right now, and how can I help? Because you feel their pain. You're another person that people like to call, because not so much that you make them feel good, but you make them feel heard. You make them feel understood. You might be able to identify people in your life that have that gift of mercy because you've been calling them. They're the person that if they, for example, if they're in a vocational ministry position, they might be a hospital chaplain. They're the person that you go, if I'm sick in the hospital, that's somebody I want to visit me because I know that they will understand. I know that they'll feel my pain with me. They'll cry with me, or they'll laugh with me, because they've got that spiritual gift of mercy. Yes, no, or maybe. Now, with spiritual gifts of mercy, there's also a liability that comes along with that. One of the ways that can show, and it's again like the service gift, it's a little bit boundary issues. We have to be very careful, because if you've got a gift of mercy, you're a very empathetic listener, and you feel other people's pain. Let's say you're a guy, and a woman comes to you because she wants to be heard. A woman in a very vulnerable position, because you're a very good listener, she may interpret that as flirtiness, or it may end up potentially leading to some things that could be dangerous for you and for her. Just because you get her. So you got to be super careful about that. You got to be very careful about those boundaries. Or women with men, you know, that's you're the one that the guys come to because they just know that you're going to get it, you're going to understand. You got to be careful with that because your intentions, even though you just want to hear, you just want to understand, they could get very easily misinterpreted. So boundaries are appropriate, that you listen in safe ways and in safe places with kind of some safe structures around you so that things don't go into places and where they would be a bad idea. So, spiritual gift of mercy. Yes, no, or maybe. Because chances are, you're going to have one or maybe two that are your top ones. Hopefully you've got little bits of all of them, but there's one or two that's especially ringing your bell right now. That's me. So, just to be a little transparent, I think that, you know, when I take spiritual gifts tests, for me the number one is encouragement. Encouragement, number two is leadership. So for me, that means a few things. You know, if you've hung out in our church, you probably know that I love to teach sermons where I'm thinking about application. So when I'm reading the Bible, it's ringing my bells like, oh, that's something that people need to hear. And if people understood that, their lives would be better. Oh, that's a word for so-and-so. When you're reading the Bible, if you've got the spiritual gift encouragement, you might be thinking in those same kind of ways. You know, the other liability that come along with it is when I'm trying to exercise the gift of leadership and passionate about leadership. I love to see mission happen. I want to see the church move forward. I recognize one of my own liabilities is when it comes time to call the church to bold mission, part of me is a little bit held back because I want to make certain that everybody's feeling okay. And you know what? Sometimes leadership is hard and you just have to go for it. But that's a struggle for me. And I only bring that up to say, my hope is that as you have awareness of your gifts, both the strengths and the liabilities that come along with that, you can lean on your strength and be aware of the potential liabilities that come along with that gift. So you can manage those weaknesses or those liabilities. That's where other people can come into your life to help you, to encourage you, to provide those boundaries, to provide those structures so that your ministry gift can thrive. Okay, so let's take a quick look at some of the things that can hold people back from service, because again, I want to look at the psychology of stuff. Some potential barriers to faithful service. Number one is I'm selfish. Maybe you're just a selfish pig, and most of your life you just think about you and your own. You have a really hard time, like, even caring about the pain of people around you. And you don't realize that everybody else has things tough too. That would be a barrier. That makes it harder to serve. And so one of the things you could maybe do is you say, Lord, break my heart. Lord, if that's me, to the degree that my life is selfish, help me to care for others. That might be you. That might be you. Another potential barrier for service, and I just want to hit on this one, is I'm not good enough. Number two, in no particular order. You go, you know what? I know my history, and I don't think God can use me. Maybe if I get my life cleaned up, you know, and I'm like the version of me that I wish I was, well, then God could really use me. Forgetting that all throughout the scriptures, God used broken people. Moses was a murderer before he led God's people. Moses was 80 years old when his mission really engaged. Some of you believe you're too old to really accomplish anything. That's a lie. You got to start reading your Bible. It's great. God apparently doesn't care about how old somebody is. It doesn't factor into whether or not he can use them. David was an adulterer and yet was still considered a man after God's own heart. So your sexual history does not prevent you from serving. The question is, where are you heading? Are you allowing God to move you in your life and use you? Are you allowing him to take those broken places, bring healing, and move you forward? Or even, here's the other one. Just look around the room a little bit. Just glance back and forth a little bit, not too much. Okay. Do you realize that the people around you have probably out-sinned you like 3-1? I mean, we are a nasty, nasty, funky bunch here, okay? So, grace on you, you know? Grace on you. God uses broken people to accomplish his work in this world. And one of the reasons I watch in connection groups is you'll realize, wow, we're all kind of messed up. Isn't that great? We're in it together. Let's trust Jesus and move forward. So get past the lie of I'm not good enough. Get past the lie. Okay, third one. I'll try to move a little bit faster. Third one, I'm not needed. Now, sometimes churches can mess this up. Organizations can mess this up because it looks like all the spots are filled and it looks like there's no place for you. When we mess that up, we're sorry. That's not what we mean. We need you. And here's the question that can break through the I'm not needed. Here's the question. Okay, dial in. What bothers you? What bothers you? There's a very good chance there is a holy discontent in your heart over an issue, over something that's not going well, that's not going right. What bothers you? There's a very good chance that when you say, oh, I just wish somebody would do something about that. Why can't anybody see that that's a problem? That's the Holy Spirit going tap, 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 tap. Don't you realize that you can see it? You can see it because I'm calling you to be part of the solution to that problem. What bothers you? There's a decent chance that that's because God has a spirit-empowered call in your life to make that thing better. So get past the lie that you're not needed. Just look for what bothers you and run there. And fix it. Fourth thing. This is the harder one. Is I might be criticized. Here's one of the problems with people. We're selfish pigs. And so there's a decent chance. I mean, now we're selfish pigs that have been forgiven and God is making us be. I mean, you should have seen how we were before we met Jesus. Holy cow. Now, so that's a very real liability. Is you might honestly serve somewhere and somebody's not going to be thankful. They're going to forget to say thank you, or the first thing that comes out of their mouth right after you've just, you know, given some time or some care is something that's critical. And I'm sorry. That's one of the liabilities of serving. Please, please don't let that stop you from serving. Even if the people around you are, for whatever reason, they cannot see how valuable you are, you need to know that God sees. And that the things that are done in secret, the things that nobody says thank you for the scriptures point us to the idea that God gives special reward for those things, the things that nobody notices, that nobody else notices. Finally, number five, is I'm trying to serve in a way that I'm not gifted. Sometimes it's really difficult to serve because just like in that tool illustration with the kids, because God wired you up as a hand drill and you've been trying to pound nails. And as a result, it hurts. It just doesn't feel right. Maybe it's because you're serving in the wrong place. It's one of the reasons why you need other people in your life, because there's going to be people that can see you in ways that you can't see you. So connection groups, close Christian friends, ask the people around you, what gifts do you see in me? And then listen to what they say. And if it's a little bit different than what you assume for yourself, well, just take that into account. Maybe your gifts are not the things that you think to be your gifts. But that doesn't mean you don't have gifts. It just means you're, at the moment, you're leaning on the wrong ones. All of us are on a journey. Give yourself permission to try different things. Now, after the worship service, or as worship service closes, we're going to have a service for you. You see all the tables and the games. It's really going to be fun. I think you're going to love it. The reason why it's there is because we want you to have information about a wide variety of ways that you can serve in the church. So if you're feeling like you're not needed, guess what? You are. Feel like you're not wanted, talk to any of these folks. They really want you. But the point is not so much to like get you to do stuff. The point is to give you information to go, how does the gifts that God has put in my heart, how could that relate to service in the church? The other thing I want you to hear, can I see your eyes again? I know, and I'm almost done, is some of us have over-spiritualized service. You think that service is something that only happens in the church. And that's nothing could be further from the truth. Some of you right now, you're parenting in some difficult situations. You need to understand that that is part of your Christian service. Some of you are caring for aged parents, and it's really, really hard. You need to understand that is part of your Christian service. You're coaching somewhere. That's part of service. You're volunteering in the school somewhere. That's part of service. You're getting ready to do something as part of the Make a Difference Day, something like that. That is service too. Some of us are called to serve inside the church. Some of us are called to serve outside the church. Where has God called you to serve? How are you gifted? That's the big question. How are you gifted? And where is God calling you to apply it? So let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you that you have given us gifts. Lord, show each one of us where and how best to apply it. So Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to speak, to lead, and to guide. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.